verses 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. You may be seated.
What a blessing it is to be able to worship. What a blessing it is to be able to lead our minds in study of God's Word. Thankful and for the good news we have to announce this morning that Billy Don Clark was baptized on Friday. We rejoice with his decision to put Christ on in baptism and be saved. And so thankful for that. And let me encourage you that if you're thinking about that, to not delay. And if we can help you at any time, and if you don't want to do it in a assembly like is this, then talk to me, talk to one of our leaders here, and we'll make sure we can do that at a time that's convenient for you. But we want you to know we care and we love you and want you to be saved and in a right relationship with the Lord. There was a man who had suffered a brain injury and had lost his ability to remember. And it's almost like the idea of the Groundhog movie where he wakes up each day and every day is a repeat. But he could not remember what had happened the day before. Now, when you think about this idea, you might think about how scary and how difficult that would be. So he had to write post-it notes, and his family helped him by writing post-it notes around the house. And it would begin each morning by reminding him his name, who he was, his brief history about himself, and then any notes that he would write or that the family would write about what had happened in previous days or what he might need to be doing that day. Every day he had to discover who he was. He woke up every morning not knowing who he was. Knowing who you are is one of the most important things in this life. It determines actually what you do in your behavior. Knowing who you are is so critical that we really cannot live life each day if we don't know who we are. And so we even understand one another by this idea. When we are introducing ourselves, we tell some basic things about who we are. I am, and then we will use various descriptive terms. Reading a book that's been a bestseller called Atomic Habits, and it's about developing habits by James Clear. And it was written in 2019. But in this book, in the opening chapters, he's talking about habits, and he said something that really struck a chord with me, because the book's not a Christian book, it's just a book, self-help book on habits. But this principle is directly connected with Christianity. And I wanted to share it with you. And it's this principle he talked about called three layers of behavior. When we talk about how we want to live and what we want to get accomplished, he says typically we break these into these circles, we could say. There is the deepest circle of identity, who you are. And then, of course, there is the processes or the system that we use to do things. And then, of course, there is the outcomes, the desires, the goals. So the outcomes would be the goals, the processes would be the system, the do, the plan, and then the identity is your beliefs and your values. Now, likely, you'll probably be the same person you are a year from now that you are today if you don't think about who you are, because you've probably not changed a lot over time. And we tend to get in habits and ruts and do these same things that we've always done. And if we want to change these, like for example, it's middle February, how many of your New Year's resolutions are still active? We often typically go to thinking about working from the outside of this circle in. We think about what's the goal, what's the outcome I want? And then we think about how do we get to that outcome thinking about a plan. So on your New Year's resolution goals or any goal you might have, it might have been I want to lose, for example, this amount of weight. Or I want to read the Bible this many times. Or I want to graduate from college this year. I want to start college this year. You have some outcome. And then you'll think about, well, what's the plan? What's the process? That's that second level, to get there. But what often fails in this is we don't think about who I need to be. Who I need to be to accomplish that. And really the key idea of all this is, what do you believe about yourself? What are your values? What is your worldview? Because ultimately this is going to determine your behavior. Let me illustrate this. That really your identity, and what he says, and I thought it made a lot of point, and it's going to really apply to Christianity, is that really we should go, rather than thinking about the goal, we should first begin with our identity. What kind of person do I want to be? And who do I want to be? Because that value, that belief, is really going to shape your outcomes. Now, let me illustrate. If two people go are asked this question, are you a smoker? And one replies, I am, but I'm trying to quit. The other one says, no, I quit. Now, which one do you see an identity in that statement? They have two different identities, right? They're both trying to accomplish the same outcome, but there's two different identities. One says, I am a smoker, but I'm trying to quit. I want to quit, that's what I desire, but that's not who I am. Really, I'm a smoker. I'm just trying to quit right now. The other person knows that he has been a smoker, but when you're asking him, is he a smoker now, he says what? No, that is not who I am anymore. I have quit. Now, which one, if you were to have to ask the scenario, which one of these 3 months from now is going to not be a smoker? Which one would you think is not going to be a smoker? Obviously, you would say the one whose identity is, I am not a smoker. When you think about this in other areas, we can often think about with our outcome. I want to with our weight. We want to be this. The process then is, I want to diet. But if we still see ourselves as someone who's always going to be overweight or someone who is not going to be able to be successful on a diet, then probably we're never going to accomplish it, are we? Our identity is where it's at. And so we have to understand that it's not just about a new goal, and it's not just about a new plan. It's about who are you and how do you see yourself. And this is so true for Christians. Because so many people, when they think about the Christian life, they focus on the outcomes. They focus on the goal. I want to live a good life. I want to go, the ultimate outcome is, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. That's the outcome. And we see the process, the plan is, well, I got to quit doing a lot of these things that I've really been enjoying doing. Or I got to change and start being really good again or be good. And we see it almost in a negative light. But what did Christ come to do? He didn't come just to give us an outcome. He came to change who we are. You see, there's a lot of Christians, I believe, who are a Christian, but they really haven't allowed it to go to the deeper roots of their identity. Especially if you were baptized when you were young or out of social pressure for things. You may think, I did this, but it really hasn't ever sunk down deep. And that's who you are, a Christian. Now, when we think about this concept then, when we think about who are you, I want to begin with this idea that Christ changes our identity. The purpose of the gospel is not just to give us an outcome of a different life, but it is to change who we are so that we can become like God, so that we can be holy like God. In fact, God wants to remind us, first of all, that we have the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, the Bible begins with this truth that we are made in the image of God. You have God's image upon you. You are valuable. You are important. You are worth something. I noticed at the ball game the other night, they were the suicide prevention group and the drug task force that we have working in our community, working with our young people, trying to help educate them about drugs and about suicide and prevent those things. Had a little commercial they were running at the ball game, and it was using this same concept. You are, and they had different young people saying, you are courageous, you are, and it would list off various qualities that we would want in a young person. And then, of course, the main tagline was, you are loved. You are loved. And the idea was that we want you to know, those of you, because we have in our nation and even in our community, we have far too many. If there's one, there's far too many, but we have far too many teen suicides or adolescent suicides and adolescent drug use. And a lot of that comes from people do not believe in their identity that they are loved. That they are these other qualities of good and courageous and things like that. And it all begins with, what do you believe about yourself? And the first thing you've got to believe about yourself is that you are created in the image of God. You are valuable. You have intrinsic worth. But notice, secondly, you got to understand that we're given a new image in Christ because we have fallen short. We have sinned. We've marred that image of God because we do make wrong choices. And so Christ came, and if you look at Colossians chapter 3, Paul makes this point in verses 1 and following. He says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Notice this. Set your mind on things that are above. Verse 3. For you have died, you have died, you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears. Notice what Paul is saying. Your identity is you're a Christian. Christ is your life. In fact, you don't even have a life anymore. The life you had died. Remember Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? That I've been crucified with Christ. That Paul says he did not live anymore, but the life he now lives, he lives by faith in Christ who gave himself for him. We do not have our life anymore. We have died, so our identity now is tied to Christ. Look at verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You have a new identity, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. There is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free. Doesn't matter what your outward identity is. When those people would shake your hand, they'd say, I'm a Greek man, I'm a Jewish man, I'm a slave, I'm a free man, I'm a barbarian, I'm from all these places. Paul says, it doesn't matter what your first identity is. When you shake hands and say, I'm an American, I'm from Kentucky, that doesn't really matter. What he says is, Christ is all in all. What matters most of all is that when you shake hands with someone, you say, I am a Christian. I'm a Christian. Your identity is taken first and foremost from Christ. You see, we're given a new image in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul talking about this image, and he says in verses 14 through 17, that we have concluded this, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he who died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves. We don't live for ourselves, but for him who, for their sake, died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creation. That's why in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, in Romans 6, when it's talking about our baptism, it says that we are baptized into Christ. Paul says in Galatians 3, 26 and 27 that we are clothed with Christ. We put on Christ. In Romans 6, he says, we are buried with Christ. He's talking about you get a new identity. Christ changes our identity. And so, who are you? When you think about these levels of behavior, if you try to just focus on living the Christian life all about the outcomes, all about, well, I've got to just focus on the moral behaviors of not watching movies I shouldn't watch, not using words I shouldn't use, and we get on all the not train and think all the things I can't do, you're missing the boat when it comes to Christianity. It's not just about the outcomes, or it's not just about thinking about, well, I've got to do all these things. It may not be kind of miserable now, but I've got to do these things so I can make it to heaven when I die. You're missing the point of Christianity. It's not just about the outcomes. It's about your identity and who you are and understanding your identities. The outcomes should motivate us, yes. The outcomes should be the motivating idea, but the outcomes are not going to really shape who you are. You've got to understand the identity. And let me illustrate. For example, going back to the illustration I used about the smokers, do you want to be a Christian? You hear people talk about this, well, I want to try to live a right life. Or are you a Christian? Do you see the difference there? And I'm not saying we need to be arrogant or prideful and the one is just being humble, but I'm talking about this idea, am I a Christian? Is that how I see myself? And this is what a Christian would do. Or do I see myself as, well, one day I'm going to live as a Christian. When I get older, when I get these things taken care of, then I'm going to be a Christian. You see, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as, I want to be a Bible reader? Well, it would be a good thing to be a Bible reader, but that's just not me. I can't read well. I don't have the time in my life. I'm not going to be a Bible reader. Or do you see yourself as, I'm a Bible reader? We watched the video a couple weeks ago about the importance of reading your Bible four times a week and how that changes your life. Did you think, yeah, that's what I am. I read my Bible four times a week. I have some interaction with God's Word at least four times a week. Or did you think, well, I want to do that, but I'm never really going to do that. Did you think, for example, when we talk about prayer, do you think I want to be a prayer? Or are you a prayer? In other words, when trouble comes or when challenges come or when blessings come, do you think, I'm going to tell God about that? Or when someone has a problem and you think, I'm going to tell them, I'm going to pray about that. Or someone asks you to pray about it, do you pray about it? Because you're a prayer. That's what you do. You are a person of prayer. Or are you someone who's always thinking, I want to be that? Are you someone who wants to be involved? I'm going to get involved in the church sometime. Or are you someone who feels like, I am obligated? That's who I am. I have an obligation here. This is my identity. I am someone who is a church worker. They can count on me. And the people know that's my identity. That's who I am. Are you someone who wants to go to church? In other words, I want to go to church, but a lot of things can get in the way, and I know that's the best place for me to be. Are you someone who's your identity, and you know these people, their identity is every time the door's open, I'm going to be there. That's that commitment. That's their identity. That's how they define themselves. Their identity is I'm always going to be there. Some of us, if you think about over the last year, you've had a pattern with your involvement with the church and in your attendance. And that's your identity, isn't it? And if you want to change, if you want the outcome of, hey, I want to be involved in Wednesday night Bible class, then you've got to change your identity as someone, that's who I am. I'm someone who I'm committed, I'm going to be involved in Wednesday night Bible class. Are you view yourself as not able to be a leader in the church? Or do you see yourself as I'm a leader for Christ? However God wants to use me, I can do it. Or you see yourself, and you may not outwardly say this, but you kind of allow yourself a victim mentality. I'm someone who's bitter. You've known those people, right? I'm a bitter, angry, gossiping person. Whatever category you want to put that in, but I'm a bitter. Someone says, I'm just a gossip. I can't control it. My mouth just goes all the time. That's how they define themselves. Or do you define yourself as someone who is forgiving, kind, and encouraging? And this one is important. Are you a sinner or are you a Christian? Now, I understand all Christians sin. None of us are perfect and we're saved by the grace of God. But I also believe that we're not to define ourselves as sinners. We abhor sin, and when we sin, we repent of it. That's not who we are. We're a Christian. We're someone who is saved from sin. We're not a continual sinner in that sense that that's what we are. We're a Christian. We're saved. We're forgiven. And so, true behavior change is identity change. If you want to change your behavior, you got to change your identity. Now, how does this work? Notice the twofold prescription. Think about the person you want to be. Decide the person you want to be. What kind of person do you want to be? Joshua 24, verse 15, when he stood before the children of Israel before he departed, he said, "Choose for you this day whom you will serve, whether it be God or whether it be the gods of the Amorites," and listed all these other gods. He says, choose. You've got to decide. Remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5? He says, after giving those qualifications for his disciples, he then says, "You are the salt of the earth." Notice he didn't say, "Try to be the salt of the earth." Now, I want y'all to be a bunch of good people when you go out there. He didn't say, "Try to be light." He says, "You are salt. You are light." That is your identity. You are the salt. You are the light of the world. He says, "You are the city set up on a hill." That is your identity. You see, we needed to choose what kind of person we want to be. What would a Christian do? In the book, talking about habits, he told about a lady who had lost a lot of weight. And he said the powerful question she used in trying to shape her identity was she asked the question, "What would a healthy person do?" And so every decision, because she had never thought of herself as a healthy person, so every decision she ran by this question, "What would a healthy person do?" And she had a lot of success at changing her identity. When you think about that idea, I thought about the question that has been so popular through the last few decades. What would Jesus do? What would a Christian do? That's a great question, isn't it? What would this kind of person do? What would a Christian do? You see, that's your identity. And so therefore, when I become a Christian, it changes everything because then it impacts how I talk. It impacts my relationships, my associations, my friendships. It influences my life, my schedule, my worship schedule, my work schedule. It influences everything because then I think, whenever I'm doing things I used to do, I think, what would a Christian do? Because that's what I am. I'm a Christian. You see, decide the person you want to be. But number two, prove it to yourself with small wins. This is the hard part, isn't it? It's like you need to cast votes that, yes, this is the kind of person I am. Because when you're changing this, your behavior becomes your evidence. Now think about that. When you first think about, for example, you think, "I'm a Christian." A Christian is someone who prays. How do you prove to yourself that you're a prayer so that you change that identity? Just like that smoker said, "I am not a smoker, I quit." One day, he didn't smoke. The next day, he didn't smoke. And he continued to prove it to himself, and so that his identity changed and he was no longer a smoker. That was not his identity. He had quit. A prayer. You pray one day, pray the next day, pray the next day. You continue to develop and prove it to yourself. That's who I am. I'm a prayer. I'm a person of prayer. You see, your behavior becomes your evidence. Daniel, when you think about Daniel in the book, his own book, Daniel, there is two powerful stories that we can't look at in great detail, but I want to allude to them. One is when he's young, chapter 1. We've studied these before, but when he's young and he goes and he's carried away and he's given the king's food. And Daniel, verse 8, resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food and the wine that he drank. Why did Daniel and his friends not eat that food? He did not eat that food because it would have been a violation of who he was. It would have been a sin for him to eat that food. It was probably had pagan undertones. It was something that a Jewish boy who served God could not eat. Why would he not eat the food? If we want our young people to be holy on a Friday night, we got to make sure they know they're a Christian on Friday night. If we want them to be holy when they're at school, we got to make sure that they are a Christian when they're at school, just like they're a Christian when they're at church. And that Christianity is not something we take on or take off, but it shapes who we are in every context. So when Daniel was in Babylon, and when Daniel was in the king's court, and when everybody else was eating this king's food, Daniel said, "I'm not going to eat the food because that's not who I am." Now when he was an old man, probably 60 to 70 years old, maybe 80. And they knew that Daniel, because Daniel had been a man of prayer, they knew Daniel would pray 3 times a day. They knew that was his habit. They knew that was his custom. So they passed the law, said, anybody that prays, go into the den of lions. When Daniel knew the law was passed, Daniel said, doesn't change me. That's not who I am. I am a man of prayer. So Daniel went, knelt down just as he had done every day before, and he prayed to God. They threw him in a den of lions, but Daniel didn't care. You know why? Because Daniel was a man of prayer. It's who he was. The outcome did not change who he was. When you think about that, you realize that Daniel had proved it to himself from the time he was young to the time he was old. That's who he was. Now, sometimes you're going to have negative votes, but you must win and have more votes cast in favor. In other words, you probably may have one day where you go through the day and you don't pray, but don't let it disturb you. You get up the next day and you pray. You pick yourself back up, and the more positive votes you have over the negative, the more it will shape your identity. Because see, the curse of this is that negative behaviors can also shape your identity, can't you? If you are someone who does things and struggles with things, for example, some besetting sin, and the more you struggle with that sin, the more it puts a vote, a mind in your head that what? That's who I am. And that's why Jesus often says we have to do radical surgery. We have to cut those things off because we'll define ourselves. That's who I am. And so what you do shapes your beliefs, because they prove who you are. They prove who you are. And so notice this little diagram here. Peter says this in 1 Peter. You become your habits. You become your behaviors. In 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, Peter says, be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. That's your identity. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, you need to add all these things, knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness. And he says these 7 qualities, brotherly love and love. He says, if these things are yours, they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful. Peter says, if that's who you are, these principles, these evidences will keep you from being unproductive. In fact, he goes on to say, they will help you to be assured an entry into the everlasting kingdom of God. It works together. Your identity shapes your habits, and your habits shape your identity. It goes together. And that's basic stuff. You understand that. But we don't apply it, do we? Now, I have a few biblical test cases, then the lesson is yours. When God called Israel out of Egypt, He told them, in Exodus 19, 4 through 6, He told them that they were to be identified as a kingdom of priests in a holy nation. Israel was to remember that was their identity. That's who they were. They were a special people, a holy people. It's your identity. In Daniel, we've already talked about Daniel. It's his identity. When we think about Paul, Paul was a Jewish leader who persecuted the church. Or was he the Apostle Paul? What changed? What changed was how Paul saw himself. He saw himself as a changed person, as someone that was completely different. His identity totally changed, didn't it? He went from someone who was a Jewish leader, and Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he counted it all as rubbish, all as dung. He threw it all out, that he might be found in Christ. His identity then, Galatians 2:20, came from Christ. Paul's identity changed, led to all of his behavior change. And then Of course, in the church, we are called to be a holy people, a holy nation, a special people. I want to illustrate this. I hope that this has been helpful because I really believe it's powerful. But I want to illustrate it by thinking about myself and thinking about how I think a lot of people have done Christianity. Someone might ask me, Josh, are you a runner? And I, until thinking about this, would say, no, I'm not really much of a runner. I don't like to run that much. I don't think of myself as a runner. What's interesting about that is I've been running 4 to 7 miles, usually about 3 days a week, over the last 10 years. So usually about 3 days a week, I'll run 2 miles one day, and about 3 days a week I'll run, and that for a total of 4 to 7 miles in a given week. Now, if you were to say, this person here, they run, on average, 5 to 7 miles a week, 4 to 7 miles a week. Are they a runner? You'd say, sounds like a runner to me. Wouldn't they run every week? But yet I do that, and I don't think of myself as a runner. Because my identity is not in that. And I think, I was thinking about this. I think that's why I don't really enjoy running. I think that's why I'm not any good at it. Here's why I run. Because I enjoy exercising with Amanda, and because it's good for my heart, it's good for my health, and I do it solely based on the outcomes. That's why I run, for the outcomes. I don't really like the process, I do it for the outcomes. And my identity then is, I'm not any good at it, don't like it, and if I could quit, I would. It's truth. And I thought about that. And I thought, how many people do that with the church? They've been, for 10 years, you've been coming to church. You check off the box. You're at church. Someone says, are they a Christian? Well, you know, they go to church and they pray occasionally and they read their Bible and they talk about Jesus. They're a Christian. But their identity is not really that they're a Christian. They do all the outward signs because they want the rewards of Christianity. They want the going to heaven and they want the blessings of those things. But it's not really who you are. You'll never get Christianity if you don't realize that Christ came not just for the outcomes, but He came to change who you are. And you'll miss out on what Jesus was really about and what the gospel is really about. Is really about changing your life. And when Christ changes your life and that's your identity and you're a Christian, then that shapes everything else and influences everything else. And it becomes a joy, not a burden. It becomes a blessing, not a chain you got to drag around. This morning, I hope that you'll think about who you are and you'll think about your identity and that each morning, you have to look at some sticky notes. And the main sticky note that should say to you is, I'm a Christian. And everything today is going to be based upon that idea of, I'm a Christian. And that's who you are. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, if you need to rededicate your life, please come as together we stand and as we sing.